Hey everybody, Merry Christmas. I'm going to spend just 1 minute to capture your attention so that you get to spend time with me for the next 15 minutes or so. Here's the attention gatherer. I bet you are familiar with the Magi story in the Christmas account, but how about this? Did you know there weren't three wise men? And you go, what? Well, the reason you say there were three wise men is you've seen all these Christmas Hallmark cards, which depicts which depict three wise men. Well, my research tells me that there were more than three, far more. There was an entourage of wise men. Second myth. Do you think they actually rode camels? I don't think so. Because the Magi came from Persia, and in all likelihood, they rode the magnificent Persian horses, not camels. Third myth. You probably thought that the wise men came to Mary and Jesus on the day, on the night on which he was born. Not so. I can say definitively that was not the case. They came sometime after the birth. So do I have your attention? What's more important is the meaning of this account, this narrative about the three Magi and King Herod. Here's what I believe, and I want to unpack this for you in a minute. I believe with all my heart that God wants you to have courage to seek Jesus because Jesus is seeking you. One more time. Have courage to seek Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is seeking you. And I want to share with you that he is seeking you through the star and through the scripture. Would you like to hear more about this? Come, follow me, join me, and let us travel to Bethlehem, shall we? The narrative comes to us from Matthew chapter 2. Where's Matthew? Matthew is in the New Testament. Matthew, and it's the first book in the New Testament, and chapter 2. Okay, let's pick it up. An actual account, a narrative, regarding the birth of Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So right there. What's the timetable? On the day of Jesus' birth? No. Sometime after he was born. So we don't know exactly how later, but we do know that this event took place before Mary and Joseph took Jesus to back to Jerusalem for the consecration, and this took place before they moved back to Nazareth, the town in which Jesus was raised. Who came? Magi from the east. Now, for the longest time, maybe you are more familiar with the term the wise men, or in the old Bible translations, you may have read the words like kingsmen or kings or philosophers. Well, the word is magi, and we don't know how to translate this. There is no equivalent English word for this magi. The singular word is magus. Doesn't sound all that interesting, but in the plural form, it's magi or magoi. This is what we know about the Magi. They were from Persian Empire, or prior to the Persian, it was the Medes, M-E-D-E-S, another powerful empire. We also know that these were really influential people in the Persian Empire and the culture. They were wise, they were experts in astrology, astronomy, they were experts in mathematics. It's like they knew everything there is to know. They were very powerful, very influential, and very, very wise. According to one source, get this, the job of the Magi was to appoint kings. Let me repeat that. One of the really important tasks of the Magi was to appoint kings. Let me put it this way. They were kingmakers. Very interesting. So they came to Jerusalem because they saw the star from east. And they came all the way to Jerusalem following the star. And who was there? King Herod. What do you know about King Herod? Here's what we know. Historical facts. King Herod was not a Jew. He was of the tribe of the people of the Edomites, or he is also known as an Idumean, therefore. Okay. He was not a Jew, but he was appointed to be the king of Israel by the Roman Senate. The Romans occupied Israel, and they appointed Herod to be the ruler of the land. And that's why people of Israel, they detested Herod. Number one, he was not of their blood. And number two, he sided with the enemy. So in many accounts, the Jews hated King Herod. Now, why did the Magi come? They said, we have seen the star from the east. And we came to worship, not pay homage. Actual word is to worship, as in worship God, worship the Lord, worship a deity. So they came and they were asking the question, where is this newborn king of the Jews? How do you suppose King Herod responded to this? How do you suppose, can you imagine how he must have felt? Do you want to find out? Do you want to find out? I do. Well, let's go there. Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The word is deeply agitated. He was panicking. He was afraid. He was fearful. He was disturbed in his soul. Not only him, but Matthew writes, all Jerusalem with him. Why? Well, like I said, it's the Magi. Magi were powerful people. They were considered royal, right? And when they came, they didn't just come, three of them in three humble camels. They came, they entered the city of Jerusalem with an entourage. There were soldiers. They came with an army with on Persian horsebacks. And it was a sight. And everyone in Jerusalem knew that they were, what? Kingmakers. And they were disturbed along with King Herod. There is another king to be made? What's going to become of King Herod? Everyone was intrigued and disturbed. Well, shall we go on? Do you want to find out what happened next? Verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, that meant King Herod summoned all the experts of the scripture, because he wanted to find out one thing. And what is the one thing? He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Get this. King Herod's response, number one, was disturbed, deeply troubled. He was panicking, right? Second, he was a shrewd politician and a ruthless ruler. He ruled with an iron fist. And here comes his true colors. He's going to find out where the child is going to be born. But note this, he didn't ask where the new king of the Jews. What did he ask? He asked, where is the Messiah? Now, in Greek language, it's Christ. Messiah is Hebrew, the Christ is Greek, And it means this, God's anointed. I find this really intriguing, don't you? The Magi asked, where is the newborn king of the Jews? And Herod is looking for, asking the scribes, the experts of the scripture, saying, where is this Messiah, the Christ, God's anointed, going to be born? Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly in private, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Now here comes his plot. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. This was his scheme. He wasn't going to worship this Messiah in reverence, in adoration and praise. No, 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 no. He was cooking up a plot. He was cooking up a scheme because he wanted to get rid of him. Why? Well, here's what we know about Herod, right? He was a shrewd politician and a cruel ruler. All of his life, in his entire life, it seemed as if he had one agenda. He wanted to become a king of Israel, and he did away with anyone who came in the way. Well, so much so that when he felt threatened by his wife, you know what he did? You know what he did? Should I tell you what he did? He murdered his wife. And when he murdered his wife, he still felt threatened by his children, so he killed three sons of his. And as if that weren't good enough, he killed the mother-in-law as well. He killed everyone who stood in the way. And again, King Herod felt threatened by this new Messiah, the newborn king of the Jews. So he wanted to kill him. Now, we're going to find out later on that the Magi, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So they took another route and returned to their country. And when Herod found out about this, he was furious. And you know what he did? You know what he did? Should I tell you what he did? The unthinkable. He sent an edict throughout the land. And around the vicinity of Bethlehem, he had every male child under the age of 2 killed and murdered because he felt so threatened by this newborn king. Well, let's continue on. Let's find out what happened to the Magi. This is verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Interesting. Do you find this really strange? A mobile star. A star that moves from one place to another. It's like star on a drone. It moved. I'll come back to that. But I just wanted to point out how intriguing, interesting, strange this is to me. Do you know what happened after that? When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Their hearts were filled with this inexpressible excitement and joy. Why? Not only because they got to come to their destination, they traveled afar, right? But more than that, the reason they overjoyed was why? They eyewitnessed this child, the king of the Jews. But more than that, they worshipped him because this was no ordinary king. This was no ordinary child. Let's continue on. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him right there. This is not just paying homage and respect to a new king. This is worship, adoration, veneration, as if this child was something more than a human being. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Strange birthday gifts. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. Friends, what do you make of this? They come to Bethlehem because they heard what was written in the scripture, and they stopped at the house where the star had located itself, right? And then they worship Jesus. You know what I find really interesting? The gifts they brought. They brought three gifts, the reason for which most people think that there were three wise men. But again, like I said, there was an entourage of magi. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why those gifts? Well, here's one interpretation. Gold represents kingship. Indeed, this child was a king. But it gets more interesting, more strange, more mysterious than that. Second gift, frankincense. Frankincense was an incense that the priests would burn to a deity, to a god. It's as if the Magi knew this was a king, but more than a king, a god. A king god, a god king, a child who was born into a king, but needs to be worshipped. We need to worship this king as God. What's the third gift? What? It's the most strange gift of them all. Myrrh. You know what myrrh was used in those days? Embalming oil. Myrrh was used to cover the body of dead people. It was for a funeral ritual. What a strange gift for a new child, don't you think? It's as if the Magi, they were led by the Holy Spirit, and they realized a king, yes indeed, but more than their king, a god, deity. And not only that, this king god is going to die for you and for me and for everyone. And that's why they brought the embalming oil to a birthday party. And they worshiped the child. They bowed down and they adored and they worshiped. I have just two applications for you. And I hope that you find these applications not only personal, but also applicable. Two applications. Number one, for those of you who aren't sure about Jesus Christ, who aren't sure about the God of the Bible, remember this. Jesus is giving you courage to seek him. Why? Because he's seeking you. He sent two things. He sent the star and he sent the scripture on your way. This star is no ordinary star. I don't think this was the conjunction of the Jupiter and the Saturn in alignment. I don't think so. This was a star, yes indeed, but a mysterious one. It was mobile. It moved. Friends, stars as we know it, as we know them, stars don't move. They're not mobile. They're stationary, right? They're thousands of light years away. They don't go from Edmonton to Calgary. They don't. Meaning, this was a very unique, supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. I found it really interesting that in my research, that the Greek word for star in Hebrew can also mean light or glory, as if God's presence was leading them in the form of the star. Here's what I'm getting at. Jesus has been sending you his star to you, hasn't he? Signs, circumstances, events, series of events, or people on your way, in your life. These are all stars. Christ is leading you to himself. I remember meeting a young man not too long ago, and he said, I'm not all that religious, but I have this conviction from someplace, maybe from God. I don't know. I'm not sure. but convictions that I should change my lifestyle. And I feel really drawn to find more about Jesus. That's a star. And for some of you, your stars, your friends. Friends that care about you. Friends who have been praying for you. Friends who've been talking to you about Jesus. They are your star. And Jesus is saying, seek me because I'm seeking you. Or another star is hardship. Do you know when you are broken, when you are down and out, you tend to become humble and you say, oh, Jesus, if you're there, I'm not so sure if you are, but if you are, would you help me? Would you help me? That's a star. Many Muslims nowadays, now, they don't believe Jesus as God. They don't believe Jesus who died for their sins. They just think Jesus was a prophet or holy man. But they don't believe what the Magi believed. But many of them have come to know Jesus as their God and Savior, as their King, in their dreams. Jesus appeared to them in their dreams. That is also a star. But friends, remember this. Star is not sufficient. The Magi did not come to Bethlehem because of the star. Hear me right. The star led them to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, it was the scripture that sent them to Bethlehem. As if God saying to you, stars are working in your life because I sent them your way, but they are insufficient. In order for you to really seek Jesus and find him, you need scripture. You need scripture. You got to go to scripture. In the scripture, you get to experience Jesus personally. In the scripture, you will get to know Jesus as a ruler. According to the prophecy in Micah, right? A ruler will be born out of you, Bethlehem. A ruler. Someone who's going to lead you. Powerful. Strong. Majestic. Sovereign. You've been the ruler of your life all this time. And how has it been going? How has it been going? Not so well. I've been there myself. When I am the ruler of my life, it's not a happy ending. And Jesus wants to be your ruler. And you can find him in the scripture. And also, he wants to be your shepherd. A shepherd will be born out of you, Bethlehem. Shepherd, someone who's compassionate, kind, generous, who will guide you. You need a shepherd in your life. Jesus as your ruler and as your shepherd. And you can find him in the scripture. Second application. Let me speak to the followers of Jesus Christ. Friends, one application is this. One application is, Jesus wants you to be a star to somebody. That's right. He is seeking your friends. He is seeking your neighbors. He's seeking the people that you care about. And he's sending you as his star. So go, lead these people to Jerusalem. And when you bring them to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to use the scripture to bring them to Bethlehem so that they may too find Jesus as their ruler and shepherd. And on the note, friends, is your faith somewhat lukewarm? Is your faith somewhat ho-ho? Go to the scripture. Discover Jesus once again. He is the most beautiful, most powerful, most majestic, most kind, most generous God that you know. Keep discovering him. There's no end in this relationship. Get to know him more personally. Let me end this. Have courage to seek Jesus because he's seeking you through the star and the scripture. And remember this, I heard someone say, God is like someone who is playing hide and seek and coughs so as to give himself away. God is seeking you. God is revealing himself. So he says, keep seeking me. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, as we celebrate this holy Christmas this year, in the year 2020. A really unusual, most difficult time in our lives for most of us, if not all of us. Help us to seek you. Give us the courage to seek you and keep seeking you, because you are seeking us. Help us to do that with joy and wonder. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.